Today is the 8th day of January. Welcome back around the global campfire, everybody. Welcome back to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. And it is with a grateful heart that we gather, right? No matter what's going on, we have a place to be grateful for, a safe oasis, a place to unplug from it all and get poured into. We're like pouring out so much energy. It takes so much energy to live our lives and face all of the different nuances and all of the different categories that we have to face every day. And to get poured back into the depleted areas, that is something to be grateful for. And so I'm grateful for that today. And I hope you are as well. Great to be here with you. Let's dive in. Let's jump right into where we left off. That's what we do around here. Pick up exactly where we left off. Because we're on a quest to read every book, every chapter, every verse, every word of the Bible. And so picking up where we left off yesterday is picking up in the story of Abraham now. Genesis chapter 18, verse 16 through 19, verse 38. The men got up from there and looked out over Sodom. And Abraham was walking with them to see them off. Then the Lord said, "Should I hide what I am about to do from Abraham? Abraham is to become a great and powerful nation, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him, so that he will command his children and his house after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. This is how the Lord will fulfill to Abraham what he promised him." Then the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is immense, and their sin is extremely serious. I will go down to see if what they have done justifies the cry that has come up to me. If not, I will find out." The men turned from there and went towards Sodom, while Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Abraham stepped forward and said, "Will you really sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away instead of sparing the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people who are in it? You could not possibly do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. You could not possibly do that. Won't the judge of the whole earth do what is just?" The Lord said, "If I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Then Abraham answered, "Since I have ventured to speak to my Lord, even though I am dust and ashes, suppose the 50 righteous lack 5. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? He replied, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." Then he spoke to him again, "Suppose 40 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it on account of 40. Then he said, "Let my Lord not be angry, and I will speak further. Suppose 30 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." Then he said, "Since I have ventured to speak to my Lord, suppose 20 are found there." He replied, "I will not destroy it on account of 20. Then he said, "Let my Lord not be angry, and I will speak one more time. Suppose 10 are found there." He answered, "I will not destroy it on account of 10. When the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he departed, and Abraham returned to his place. The two angels entered Sodom in the evening as Lot was sitting in Sodom's gateway. When Lot saw them, he got up to meet them. He bowed with his face to the ground and said, "My lords, turn aside to your servant's house, wash your feet, and spend the night. Then you can get up early and go on your way." "No," they said, "we would rather spend the night in the square." But he urged them so strongly that they followed him and went into his house. He prepared a feast and baked unleavened bread for them, and they ate. Before they went to bed, the men of the city of Sodom, both young and old, the whole population, surrounded the house. They called out to Lot and said, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Send them out to us so we can have sex with them." Lot went out to them at the entrance and shut the door behind him. He said, "Don't do this evil, my brothers. Look, I've got two daughters who haven't been intimate with a man. I'll bring them out to you, and you can do whatever you want to them. However, don't do anything to these men, because they have come under the protection of my roof." "Get out of the way," they said, adding, "This one came here as an alien, but he is acting like a judge. Now we'll do more harm to you than to them." They put pressure on Lot and came up to break down the door. But the angels reached out, brought Lot into the house with them, and shut the door. They struck the men who were at the entrance of the house, both young and old, with blindness, so that they were unable to find the entrance. Then the angels said to Lot, "Do you have anyone else here, a son-in-law, your sons and daughters, or anyone else in the city who belongs to you? Get them out of this place, for we are about to destroy this place, because the outcry against its people is so great before the Lord that the Lord has sent us to destroy it." So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who were going to marry his daughters. "Get up," he said, "get out of this place, for the Lord is about to destroy the city." But his sons-in-law thought he was joking. At daybreak, the angels urged Lot on, "Get up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away in the punishment of the city." But he hesitated. Because of the Lord's compassion for him, the men grabbed his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters. They brought him out and left him outside the city. As soon as the angels got them outside, one of them said, "Run for your lives. Don't look back, and don't stop anywhere on the plain. Run to the mountains, or you will be swept away." But Lot said to them, "No, my lords, please. Your servant has indeed found favor with you, and you have shown me great kindness by saving my life. But I can't run to the mountains. The disaster will overtake me, and I will die. Look, this town is close enough for me to flee to. It's a small place. Please let me run to it. It's only a small place, isn't it? So that I can survive." And he said to him, "All right, I'll grant your request about this matter too, and will not demolish the town you mentioned. Hurry up, run to it, for I cannot do anything until you get there." Therefore, the name of the city is Zoar. The sun had risen over the land when Lot reached Zoar. Then out of the sky the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah, burning sulfur from the Lord. He demolished these cities, the entire plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and whatever grew on the ground. But Lot's wife looked back and became a pillar of salt. Early in the morning, Abraham went to the place where he had stood before the Lord. He looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah and all the land of the plain, and he saw that smoke was going up from the land like the smoke of a furnace. So it was, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, he remembered Abraham and brought Lot out of the middle of the upheaval when he demolished the cities where Lot had lived. Lot departed from Zoar and lived in the mountains along with his two daughters, because he was afraid to live in Zoar. Instead, he and his two daughters lived in a cave. Then the firstborn said to the younger, "Our father is old, and there is no man in the land to sleep with us, as is the custom of all the land. Come, let's get our father to drink wine, so that we can sleep with him and preserve our father's line." So they got their father to drink wine that night, and the firstborn came and slept with her father. He did not know when she lay down or when she got up. The next day the firstborn said to the younger, "Look, I slept with my father last night. Let's get him to drink wine again tonight, so you can go sleep with him, and we can preserve our father's line." That night they again got their father to drink wine, and the younger went and slept with him. He did not know when she lay down or when she got up. So both of Lot's daughters became pregnant by their father. The firstborn gave birth to a son and named him Moab. He is the father of the Moabites of today. The younger also gave birth to a son, and she named him Ben-Ammi. He is the father of the Ammonites of today. Matthew 6:25-7:14. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Can any of you add one moment to his lifespan by worrying? And why do you worry about clothes? Observe how the wild flowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothed the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you, you of little faith? So don't worry, saying, "What will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear?" For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Do not judge, so that you won't be judged. For you will be judged by the same standard with which you judge others, and you will be measured by the same measure you use. Why do you look at the splinter in your brother's eye, but don't notice the beam of wood in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, "Let me take the splinter out of your eye," and look, there's a beam of wood in your own eye? Hypocrite, first take the beam of wood out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to take the splinter out of your brother's eye. Don't give what is holy to dogs, or toss your pearls before pigs, or they will trample them under their feet, turn, and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Who among you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want others to do for you, do also the same for them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gates, for the gate is wide and the road broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who go through it. How narrow is the gate, and difficult the road that leads to life, and few find it. Psalm 8. God's glory, human dignity. For the choir director on the Gittith, a psalm of David. Lord, our Lord, how magnificent is your name throughout the earth. You have covered the heavens with your majesty. From the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you have established a stronghold on account of your adversaries in order to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I observe your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you set in place. What is a human being that you remember him? A son of man that you look after him? You made him little less than God and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all the sheep and oxen, as well as the animals in the wild, the birds of the sky and the fish of the sea that pass through the currents of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how magnificent is your name throughout the earth. Proverbs 2:6-15. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up success for the upright. He is a shield for those who live with integrity, so that he may guard the paths of justice and protect the way of his faithful followers. Then you will understand righteousness, justice, and integrity. Every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will delight you. Discretion will watch over you, and understanding will guard you. It will rescue you from the way of evil, from anyone who says perverse things, from those who abandon the right paths to walk in ways of darkness, from those who enjoy doing evil and celebrate perversion, whose paths are crooked and whose ways are devious. Okay, so in Genesis today, we witnessed the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, a pretty famous piece of scripture. So God came and verified for himself the evil reputation of the civilization in the Jordan Valley, and he did not let the evil stand. There's several fascinating features going on here, though. As devastating as that scene is, and then the unthinkable scenes that come after that, we see an amazingly beautiful thing as well, in how God engages with Abraham. So Abraham's nephew Lot is among those living in the valley, and God first asked, like, should I hide what my plans are from Abraham since they are in covenant together? Like, why would God ask if he didn't want to share his heart? And why would he want to share his heart if he didn't want Abraham to know it? And so a conversation happens, and it's really beautiful. because Abraham is like verifying God's character. You wouldn't destroy that place if there are righteous people in it. And he wants to know if there's 50 people, if God would destroy it. Then 45, then 40, then 30, then 20, then 10. What's beautiful is that God is even willing to have this conversation at all. As Abraham continued to kind of negotiate the numbers lower, because he's got his family down there and he knows it, God's response reveals the truth of his own character. He's not interested in indiscriminately causing destruction upon people. The presence of the righteous could certainly hold off the judgment the people were bringing on themselves. Sadly, there weren't 10. It was not a righteous place. And so Lot is spirited away, and all he's got to flee with is his wife and his two daughters. And as they're fleeing away, he loses his wife, who is turned into a pillar of salt. And so Lot is left with his two daughters, and they end up in this cave. Man, this passage, this kind of like incestuous thing that goes on is just deeply, deeply troubling. It's like, let's just say that out of the gate, it's not a story that has a bow on top. It's a troubling story. The Bible doesn't take troubling stories out. They're there to be wrestled with. That is the point. And so here's Lot and his two daughters. And once we have context for what's going on, we can see the dilemma, the no-win situation that these girls especially are in. So here's Lot, who was prosperous. It's all been wiped out. He has nothing left. And here's his daughters, who were supposed to get married. That's not going to happen. Those guys are dead. Their mom is dead. They are foreigners in a foreign land that is incredibly hostile. We've just borne witness to what's going on in the valley. Like, this is not a safe place. And Lot is getting older. And in this time in the world and in this culture, it's a patriarchal time. A man is responsible for a household, including the women that are in the household. But a woman is not responsible for a household and cannot have property and all of the things that go along with that. And so, Lot, his girl's father, is all that is left to protect them. He is the only one. And when he dies and he's gone, they have nowhere to go or to be. Like, should Lot be able to rebuild his life in some sort of way and have a household? Still, they will lose. There is nothing left for them. And they are out on their own, very vulnerable now, with no defenses. Everything's been wiped out. And so if somebody comes along and kills Lot to get these girls, what is their fate? To be sold into prostitution or slavery, to be abused in some sort of way for the rest of their lives. And if their father just simply dies, they are in a foreign land. How do they get back to their ancestral homeland? How do they, alone, traveling alone, with no men, no protection, get back 2,000 miles. They're stuck. Why do they not think to go to Abraham? We don't know the answer to that question. What we do know is that they have a conversation about the dilemma, about the situation that they find themselves in. And they make a decision that is really, really complicated and really, really difficult for us to get our minds around. But if they could have a male child, if there were a male child, one of their children was a male, then they had the protection that they need as they raise this child up to care for them and care for the household that emerges. And so they decide to do kind of the unthinkable with their father. And they both have sons. And the sons become people that we will further understand as people and as figures in the Bible, like the Moabites. This is one of the stories in the Bible that I hate most. Like, there are some really, really sad scenes in the Bible. This one's like a really, really disturbing one of them. When we have context, we have some understanding about what's going on here, we can appreciate the situation. And, you know, when we get into these difficult passages of scripture, we kind of scratch our heads and find ourselves judging God. Like somehow this is in the Bible, and so somehow this was supposed to happen. That's not the case. Evil was indeed destroyed in Sodom and Gomorrah by the judgment of God. God also was the Redeemer in this story in saving all of their lives. An angel, like the angels that got them out of Sodom and Gomorrah, did not come to them in the cave and say, you know what, here's the plan. Here's what you should do. You two should sleep with your father and have sons. That's what the will of the Lord is for you. That's what you need to do. That's not the story. They made these choices based on the situation that they found themselves in, when there may have been other options. We just don't have all of those details. But sometimes we get judgy toward God in these stories when God had nothing to do with what they decided to do. And that also is how we live our own lives. We blame God so often for what he has nothing to do with. And that brings us to the points and the things to consider in this troubling and disruptive story, and apply it to our own lives. And then we get into Matthew, and Jesus is talking about daily life, and his words just today alone give such a deep mirror into our own souls. Jesus instructs clearly, you don't have to worry. What's that going to do for you? You don't have to worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? He asked. Don't worry about tomorrow. Today has its own trouble, and there's enough for today. As encouraging as those words are, and they are, right? They are. That's something to take back out into the world when we leave this safe oasis. Today's got its own trouble. I'm not going to have anxiety about tomorrow. There are still more sobering things that Jesus taught that we need to take back out of this campfire today. Do not judge others, Jesus said. And then you won't be judged. Because you're going to be judged the way you judge others. The measure that you use is what will be measured against you. In other words, we're setting up our own judgment. We're laying out the gridwork for how we will be measured. And that will be how we treat others. How we judge others is how we will be judged. That's pretty heavy stuff. But that gives us an enormous amount of power in how these things play out. In the end, Jesus tied everything that he's saying into an attitude that we can hold on to, that we actually must cultivate if we want to find a life that is whole and growing. seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else you need will be given to you. Do to others how you would like them to do to you. Treat others how you want to be treated. Jesus said that's the essence of the law and the prophets. Like, that sums up what God is asking of you. You can enter the kingdom only through a narrow gate. The gateway pathway to life is very narrow, and it's difficult, and only a few ever find it. So knowing and following God, walking this path, we're being told, like, pretty plainly, it's not going to be easy. It will be difficult. It will require paying attention. It will require surrender. Surrender of our rights and our wrongs, and staying aware of what's going on around us, and especially what's going on in our hearts. But the choice is ours. May we be one of the few who seek the narrow path that leads to life. The Holy Spirit, we invite you into all that we've read today. There's a lot here to consider on a lot of different levels. So, Holy Spirit, come. Lead us to the things that we need to contemplate. Lead us into the places that we need to consider in our own context, in our own story. And lead us on the narrow path that leads to life. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. It is the website. It is home base. It's where you find out what's going on around here. The Daily Audio Bible app is that and a lot more. So grab that from the App Store if you haven't already and get connected and stay connected to the journey that we are on. Check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. There are a number of different kinds of resources there. I haven't talked about our Wind Farm coffee yet. So Wind Farm is a brand of coffee that is of the Daily Audio Bible, from the Daily Audio Bible, for the Daily Audio Bible. That name, Wind Farm, comes from Ezekiel chapter 37, where the breath of life is called from the four winds. And so what we like to imagine is that every day that we gather here, we are doing that. Every day that the spoken word of God goes out across the earth, we are calling the breath of life. And I'm just, you know, Jill and I are both, my wife and I are, we're coffee and tea drinkers. We love coffee. We used to be very snobby about it, less so today. It takes a lot of energy to be a snob. But we love good coffee and do not love bad coffee. And we've been roasting coffee for about 17, 16 years. And it pairs so well with the scriptures. For example, every day that I'm here, I have my coffee to my right. It's my Wind Farm coffee. One of the ones that I, whatever I'm into at the moment. And that's what I drink every day, pretty much every day of my life, while we're here together around the global campfire. Sometimes I go on a tea phase, and I love our tea. So we're sourcing boutique fresh tea. Like, it's really, really high quality tea. If you're a tea drinker, it's really high quality tea. If you are a coffee drinker, we are roasting fresh and sending it to you fresh. A lot fresher than what you will get in a grocery store, which usually is months old. Or, you know, unless you're going really to a local roaster and getting it roasted fresh within the week, we're sending it that fresh to you. And so check out the Wind Farm coffee in the Daily Audio Bible Shop. Grab yourself a couple of different bags, take your pick, see what you like. You can even subscribe to that and have it shipped to you each month. And we do that every month, shipping it out fresh. And it can just arrive and you'll never have to think about running out of coffee again. But while you're doing that, you're doing good. Throwing a little log on the global campfire as we continue our mission forward together. So check that out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you can do that at dailyaudiobible.com. Thank you. Humbly, profoundly. Like I said, we're 20 years into this. This would not have lasted a year. Well, it would have lasted a year, but it wouldn't have lasted longer if we were not in this together. And so, thank you deeply for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. And that will work wherever you are in the world. Or there are a number of numbers you can dial. In the Americas, 877-942-4253 is the number to call. If you are in the UK or Europe, 44-2036-088078 is the number to dial. And if you are in Australia or that part of the world, 613-8820-5459 is the number to call. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Happy New Year, Daily Audio Bible. This is New Eyes in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and I'm calling to lift our sister Sherry up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today for Sherry and her entire family this season as they are going through very difficult times with their son. Lord, we know that you are the perfect father and that you parent all of us and that you are wise and you are good. And Lord, you do give us things that we can't bear. You do give us things to challenge us in our faith. You do put relationships in our life that we need to lean on you and we need to trust you. And so, Lord, I just ask that you would comfort Sherry and her family this season. Lord, that you would remind them that you are so good and that you are completely in control. Lord, remind them that her son has a destiny and that he was put on this earth for a reason. And that you know him and you love him and you watch over him, and there's nowhere he can go that you do not see him. And Lord, we just pray for Sherry and her heart. Lord, I ask that you would come and just dwell with her, that your comforter would surround her with your peace. Lord, that you would fill her with hope. And Lord, we know that when we hope, that means that something is missing. And Lord, that you will restore it. So Lord, I just come to you for Sherry and for all the parents who are hurting as we parent young people in this world, that Lord, you are our perfect father, that you know us, you'll comfort our children, and the enemy will not win. That you are, in fact, the one who has won the battle. Amen.
Hello, DAB family. This is Diana from Florida, and I want to pray for Sherry, who's also in Florida. She has a son who is estranged, and they are praying for him to be restored to God and to the family, and that's what I want to pray for now. Sweet Jesus, I lift up Sherry and I lift up her son into your hands, God. Father, your word tells us in Jeremiah 33:3 that we could cry out to you and you would answer and you would show us great mysteries and secrets that we do not know. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that as we cry out for this young man, Father God, we cry out that you would reveal what has caused this child's transformation into the angry and bitter and painful young man that he has become. Lord, I pray that you would reveal the root cause of this issue, that he would be found in the name of Jesus and be found by you, Lord God, first and foremost, Lord, that he would not remain lost. You went after the one and left the 99. And I pray that you would go after this young man and bring him home to you and bring him home to Sherry and to her family, oh Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. I can't imagine the level of pain that she is feeling. Lord, I pray that you would help her to continue to anchor herself in you, Christ, that you would help her to trust you even through all of this, that you would give her the strength to continue to plead and intercede for her son, knowing that you are going to answer her cries in your timing. We love you, Lord, and we...
Good morning, Dab family. Happy New Year. John from Kentucky, 11-year listener, first-time caller, calling about your 8-year-old daughter of your niece, Lila, who has a golf ball size tumor in her head. She was operated on Christmas Eve. We stand with her and Kelly and Tyler and you and your family praying for little Lila. Oh God, have mercy. Spare little Lila's life, Father. We ask, Father, would this not be cancerous? Would your holy hand be on her? And would your holy hand protect her life, Father? Would she live a full and abundant life knowing you, the Father and God of her parents? And would she live thankful and never forget the ordeal she went through on Christmas Eve of 2025? And would you continue to make her a bright light in this world, Father? We pray you spare her life. We pray that you heal her well and give her parents wisdom as they nurture and raise her. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Good morning, DAB family. Happy New Year to everyone. Praying everyone is off to a great start. Coming on here real quick, this prayer is for Lila, a young lady who was diagnosed with a brain tumor. By the time this message is aired, this is January 4th, the surgery would have been completed. Father God, you are time itself. There is no time when it comes to you. So Father, I pray for Lila that the surgery was successful, that the tumor they found from the MRI was benign and no cancer was detected. Father, I lift up her parents before you, Lord God. Continue to strengthen them. Strengthen their family and their entire community, God. Give comfort, Lord, to Lila and strength to her for a quick healing and recovery. Father, we thank you for the doctors, Lord God. We thank you for the nursing staff, Lord God, that is taking care of her. Father, we thank you, and Father, we pray and believe for a miraculous report. It's in your son's Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you, Deb family. Take care of yourselves and take care of each other. This is Juan Traveling Chick in Texas. Bye.